Into one.
Definition of the concept of looking awry. He says, what is at stake in the endeavor to look awry at theoretical motifs is not just a kind of contrived attempt to illustrate high theory, to make it easily accessible, and thus disparage the effort of effective thinking. The point is rather that such an exemplification, such mise-en-scène of theoretical motifs, renders visible the aspects that would otherwise remain unnoticed.
Yeah, so looking awry seeks to make visible the examples of theory, but not just finding an example to illustrate it as best we can, or reducing the theory to the example.
Mm-hmm. Something is borne out in the theory through the example.
Yeah, like I was once trying to explain to someone when I was first encountering Zizek the concept of retroactivity, and he said, oh, like history is written by the victors, which totally killed the idea. Yeah, so like Zizek is making the case that there's like some kind of procedure of exemplification, the looking awry that accords with the theory itself, that is the theory.
Mm-hmm.
The finding of the example is part of the theorizing itself.
Yeah, and he points out that this is what Hegel and Wittgenstein do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says this is the basic strategy of Hegel's phenomenology of spirit, is to undermine a given theoretical position by staging it as an existential subjective attitude.
Yeah.
Of asceticism, beautiful soul, the unhappy consciousness, these things, and thus reveal its otherwise hidden inconsistencies. That is to exhibit the way its very subjective position of enunciation undermine its own enunciated, its positive contents.
Yeah. And that's like,
so yeah, it's
developed in For They Know Not What They Do.
Mm-hmm.
How so?
That's where he first develops it. He calls it like the existential dramatization of a theoretical position. With looking awry, it's paradoxical because rather than seeing an object in the common sense or immediate way or doxa understanding of something, like Will was saying, the inconsistencies and contradictions are revealed. So it's aspects of the object are rendered visible that an ordinary or immediate perspective represses.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
it's like he doesn't use this language for it, but he does. You know, it's the same thing of the form falling into its content as a member of its content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the way, like in phenomenology, the way he's explaining spirit is to work through the various subjective experiences and to show their inconsistencies and how they kind of lead to the next.
Which, you know, this is also a theory, obviously, of Zizek's own use of examples and method of exemplification.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
And that's what he's doing in this book. Like, it's supposed to be a guide to Lacan through popular culture, right? So it's a staging of the theory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. The staging comes on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the whole point with Zeno's paradoxes is that he's presenting a common sense understanding of motion and time.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that he stages that in order to show its inconsistencies and contradictions.
Yeah, but then kind of manages to say the opposite of what he means to say, which is, as Zizek points out, is a much more interesting, thing to say.
Mm-hmm, so let's, he says, to demonstrate the fecundity of such an approach, let's turn to the first proper philosopher, Parmenides, who asserted the sole existence of being as one, being is, for Parmenides.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.